All right, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Lord willing, we'll get into the seventh chapter tonight. And again, such a wonder of wonders in this book of Hebrews that magnifies the better all the way through this wonderful part of Scripture. And again, just so rejoicing. What a better, by the grace of God, we've been led into as a people. And again, how marvelous. How wonderful and marvelous. I think the way that the Lord's led me to do this is we'll just start in with a few verses at a time as opposed to reading the whole thing. Because some of the wording in the King James is sometimes a little bit difficult to follow with. But, you know, when the Holy Spirit reveals it to you, He's going to reveal it to you. So we'll just take it a few verses at a time. And again, this is the continuation of the example of Melchizedek as the type of Christ's priesthood that we're going to be reading here again, as this is Melchizedek. And we'll read the first three verses. It says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually." And again, this is Paul speaking to his kinsmen, Jews. And by the grace of God, he is convincing them that Jesus is the way, that Jesus is the finished work, that everything is finished in him. These were saved ones, but they were still holding on to their rituals and the ceremony. And the Lord is dealing with us as a people right now to let go of the old creation, to get out of that. To move into what you are. You are the new creation. You are the new man. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you are a new man. Do you realize that? As I was talking to sweet Linda, and again, just encouraged by so many this week, Christ lives in you. You've been crucified with Him. Who are you? You are the new man. Now recognize that. That's new man's going to be seated together with him in the heavens. Is seated together with him in the heavens. Is a son of God. Do you realize that? That's who you are. That old man was crucified with him. It's dead. Reckon it dead. Amen. Such a precious thought. But in that intro, Jesus is compared with, obviously, Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, we'll see, is in Genesis chapter 14. Let's go back and look at that one more time, again, to introduce this great Melchizedek. Genesis 14, the 18th verse. And it says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all." He blessed Abraham. This is how great this Melchizedek was. Some of the points, he's a priest king. His name means the king is righteous. He's a descendant of Shem. He's king of Salem. And Salem is the oldest name of what we now call Jerusalem. But he blessed Abraham, and Abraham acknowledged him as God's anointed priest and king. Some of the other points that we've read through here in these first three verses. Melchizedek, or Christ's priesthood, was for all the people. It was for everyone. It was for us Gentiles too. Isn't that precious? Whereas the opposed to the Aaron's priesthood, who was just for Israel. Melchizedek's priesthood was not limited to 20 years as Aaron's was. It was continual, not having a beginning of days nor an end of life. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. His priesthood had no predecessors or successors. Aaron's priesthood was limited by death, and it was passed from father to son. Melchizedek's priesthood was superior to Aaron's in every way. The Levites, or the tribe from which Aaron was from, the priestly tribe, paid tithes in Abraham, who then gave a tenth of the spoils to Melchizedek. These are points about our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And again, this is Paul convincing his kinsmen of the superiority, the better that's found in Christ. Now, we're going to talk about tithing a little bit here. You can tell I'm excited about this. See, I got you where I want you now. We're going to lock the doors. And I always remember that guy that Polly told me about. They locked the doors. And he started to say, and now get your checkbooks out. And you spell thousand, T-H-O-U-S. So I thought that was pretty funny. I was teasing the brothers the other day when we didn't have the plates out here. I said, we're going to a new system. We have credit cards now. But I was just kidding. Okay, I got to stop that. All right. So we're going to talk a little bit on tithing. And tithing is the tenth part or the expression of faith. And tithing is an expression of faith. It truly is. It's a privilege for us to recognize that anything that we have, do you realize that anything that you have is from God? It's by His grace. And recognize that. And that's when you're thankful about things. And it's our expression of gratitude to God for His Son Jesus and His blessings to us. It really is. Tithing is not a duty. It's not a duty. It's an expression of faith. And the Word tells us that it should be done cheerfully with a thankful heart, since Christ hath freely given us all things, hasn't He? Hallelujah. That's the precious thing about our Savior. And if you really think about it, it's all His anyways. You know, I've talked to people where they say, well, did I give a tenth, a fifth, a twentieth? And I've heard one say, well, you know, that was for the welfare of the people back then. And I pay taxes today. And see, we can try to justify lots of things. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. And you give out of your heart. And we're going to read a couple verses here in a minute that tell you a little bit about giving, but it's all His. I always remember how sovereign it was to me when growing up, and I think I was about 20, 21 years old, and I'm thankful the Lord allowed me to achieve things in my life. I was really, and I've told you about that. Young people, go get it. If God has given you the ability to do something and He opens the door for you, go get it. Don't be afraid. He wants to bless you in those things. What a testimony when people of the Lord can actually have something in this life and still glorify and magnify the Lord first in their life. It's precious. It's precious. It's a testimony. But I remember that one. There were some that, I will say it, they were downright jealous. Let's all say it what it was and what it is. And I remember him saying, oh, well, it was just easy for you. Everything was given to you and this was handed to you and all this. And I remember getting down and I just didn't like it. I said, they don't know how hard I worked. They don't know how hard I studied. They don't know. And the Lord hit me just at that moment and said, son, I gave you everything you'll ever have. And I can take it away in a moment. And it's mine. Now, are you going to glory me in it? Okay, let's settle down. And I realized how right all those folks were. I was given every bit of it. And you were too. Isn't that precious? I'm not a self-made man. Don't be a self-made man. That's a failure. That's a flop. That's someone who ain't going to grow in Christ. See that? Oh, I pray we do. And I'm thankful the Lord hit me with it at that time. But I am what I am by the grace of God. It's grace. It's grace. I want to emphasize that this part of the study, again, is not for fundraising. The Lord's going to take care of us, okay? But this is a precious part of the study. And as our pastor said many times, and it rang true then, and it's very true to my heart now, Brother Copley told him, he said, you know, Brother Hill, it's inevitable that you're going to need money. It's inevitable. And you know what? For your own lives, for my life, it's inevitable we're going to need money to survive. But you know what? Learn to ask your Father and not the people. And you know what? By the grace of God, we're going to continue on that way. And He'll take care of us. He'll take care of us. He won't forsake us. He'll bless this meeting. But turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. We're going to start there. Verse 8. And it says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein or how have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Withholding what God's robs us. It's pretty clear. It is. This is an expression of faith. It's an expression of our worship to Him. It is. And you're never going to fool God. You can always make reasons of why or why not you're doing something. But when He leads you and He instructs you to do something, by God's grace, count it a privilege and do it. Isn't it precious? It's a precious thing. Again, it's definitely our privilege. And notice it says there in that 10th verse there, it talks about a storehouse. And I always remember my mom talking about that storehouse. There were times when I used to give to the church and all, that I'd love to see it go for this or go to that, or why don't they do this with that and all this kind of thing. And see, that's the enemy. Did you know that? We give in faith. Do you trust the Lord? Don't trust me. Don't trust a board. Don't trust anything else. Trust the Lord. And He'll do that which is right. It's amazing when you give it to Him, it's the right thing. We can think of a lot of good things in our mind. And I've already thought of a lot of good things in my mind since I've been on the job here for 60 days. And I'm thankful the Lord that He stopped it. And He said, no, son, that's not my way. My way is going to be this and this. It's perfect. Your good thoughts are wickedness. Get them out of here. You could stumble people with that. Do you get it? Oh, I hope we see that. And I pray and I ask you to pray again for me, for the ones that are helping here and the different things, for one another, that the Lord leads us in that. But the storehouse you bring in faith, you lay it unto Him. It's the Lord's. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. We'll continue on with this tithing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now again, most importantly, I hope you see the spiritual in this. Get the Word of God in your life. Get the new man out front and receiving all the riches. Hallelujah. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And I think Brother Kelly and his family will testify on that pretty soon here. Hallelujah. There's another translation of these three verses. I'd like to read this to you as well, too. And I think this is a wonderful translation of it. Remember this. Whosoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whosoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now, tithing is for us today, and it is a blessing for us to follow God's plan. Again, it's our privilege, it's our blessing to give unto the Lord. Unlike Unlike many pastors will tell us today that we see on the TV, you give to God and He'll make you rich. In a sense, that's very true. I hope you understand that it is very true. But I'm not going to stand up here and tell you if you give to God, you're going to be a multimillionaire. Okay? If you give to God, He'll bless you for it. Okay? And it says in that text that we just read that He'll always meet your need. He'll always be your sufficiency. He'll always be your strength. He'll never, ever have you begging bread. Did you know the Word of God says that? Okay? Get His bread. Get His life. These are the things that He's encouraging us for. No, because it is a richness of spiritual. Because it's necessary. It's a necessary part of our worship and expression of faith and thankfulness to tithe. The pastor that we had for so many years in this place, he encouraged us many times, didn't he? That a stingy heart, could keep us from God's best. Okay? Now, we're not just talking about tithing here. We're talking about all things. Okay? Love of God gets in us. We care for our brother. We care for the assembly. We care for the things of God. Okay? So you think about that and ask Him to work that in our lives. Again, to be the cheerful giver to one another, to the church, to everything. And you know what? There's blessings that can never be valued with that. Isn't that precious? Thank the Lord for that. As you can see, it's kind of a difficult portion for me a little bit to talk about at this time. But you know what? It's a critical part of our worship. It's a critical part of faith. And I'd be robbing you. I'd be robbing me if we didn't talk about this. We can't just gloss over this type of thing. This is precious. This is, again, tithing is a sign of faith and it pleases God. Let's go to the fourth verse. Now consider how great this man was and to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. So again, remember Paul's convincing the Jews here. And who better to use for the Jews than old father Abraham? So that's who he's going to use here. Their father. This magnifies Melchizedek's greatness against Abraham. Abraham was subject to him. Abraham was a patriarch. He was the father of the Jewish family, and yet he was subject to Melchizedek. And he gave a tenth part of the spoils to him. Verse 5. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people, according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Again, this contrasts the Levites. They were ordered by the law into the priestly office. But Melchizedek wasn't under any law. Hallelujah. He was appointed again by oath as our wonderful Savior. He was a priest king, signifying Christ in His superiority. And there's another lesson in this fifth verse. Notice here that it says that God gave the office. God gave office to Aaron's seed in the tribe of Levi. Go over back with me to Hebrews 5:4. The Lord really impressed this on me again. In Hebrews 5:4 it says, "And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." God calls us into our place. God calls us into our place. I love this assembly. I've always loved the invite. It's not what you can do for God here. It's what God can do for you. It's what God can do in you. You try to get busy for God, you're going to miss the best. You're going to be a Martha running around. You're going to be serving. And you know what? In the eyes of man, it looks great, doesn't it? Shoot, serving food and taking care of people, that's an awesome thing. That's really nice to be doing service. But you know what? This is about Mary here. The better part. The more perfect way. The perfect will of God. That's what we're after. By the grace of God, that's what we're after here. At His feet. The true worshiper worships Him in spirit and in truth, doesn't he? Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that is so evident in this meeting, that it's so evident here, that the Holy Spirit runs free. And that's one thing I've been praying about for my life and even for many others here. I think you can see sometimes on Sunday morning, there's a place that the Lord gets me to, and you can say whatever you want to say it is, but maybe a little apprehension, maybe even a little bit scared. I'm stepping into stuff I don't know about, but you know, I want to get free in Him. I want you guys to get free in Him. We're not looking to pump anything up. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about letting your life be free in Christ. Know the liberty that you have. Reckon that old man dead. Get him out of here. Say, Lord, let me live that new creation. That's magnifying You. And what joy it is to live that. That's when we finish our course with joy. Hallelujah. I'm letting out some secrets for Sunday, Lord willing. Okay. So again, God calls us into place. All are not called to be teachers or preachers. Turn to Hebrews 13, 17. Let's go on with this thought. This is a funny lesson tonight. I've already got you on tithing. Now we're going to hear about teaching and preaching here. Hold on here. It says, 17, obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account. They must give account. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. What instruction for all of us. What responsibility? Now you understand why I say, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know my sufficiency is in You. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. We pray for one another. But obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Again, an expression of faith and worship to God. It's hard for some to do this. You know why? Because they look at the man. Don't look at me, please. Don't look at me. That should scare you. Don't look at me. Don't look at Brother Hill. Look at God. Keep your eyes up. Look up. Look up, look up. Isn't that what the Word says? Our salvation's nigh. Oh, hallelujah. It's right to us. Hallelujah. It's there for us. But I would pray again that our vision is affixed on Christ, to know and trust. As the Word says, He puts up whom He will and down whom He will. He won't forsake us, will He? He doesn't. And you know what? He does that which is right. And God doesn't make mistakes. He just doesn't. We may not agree with things. We may not see things the way that is. But you know what? His thoughts aren't our thoughts. His ways aren't our ways. I'm so thankful for that. Because then I really have confidence, because mine usually get, you know, blown out of the water. And I say, well, Lord, it's got to be Your way or I'd be totally hopeless. Thank You, Lord. All right, let's get to verse 6. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. This is a repeat of verse 2. The Levites received tithes from Abraham's seed, but Melchizedek received tithes directly from Abraham himself. That's how important this Melchizedek is. That's how important Christ is. The superiority of Melchizedek to Aaron. Melchizedek received tithes and blessed. And this is important because Abraham had promise, but Melchizedek gave the blessing. Listen to that. Abraham had promise, but Melchizedek gave the blessing. Now even let's take it a step further. So it is now that Christ is both. He is our promise. Is He not? Hallelujah. He is our promise. And in Him, from Him, and by Him are all blessings. And we have been blessed with what? Oh, amen. All spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ Jesus. Could there be any more? Worship and get them. Worship and get them. You're seated together with Him. Live it. You are sons of God. That is who you are. That is who you are. We're sitting at the table, weren't we, Linda? And I said, that old man, that's not me. That's not. I'm the new creation. That starts to scare people. They think, well, then you're going to take awful liberty with that. Well, I should take liberty with that. In grace. Abundant grace. Living Christ in me. You take it the other way. That's not living grace. Sinning willfully is not living grace. Grace abounds no matter, but I want the abundant grace living in my life. That's, again, that's the testimony we can be in Him. Verse 7. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And the one empowered with the ability to bless is always greater than the one he blesses. Melchizedek had superiority, didn't he? Verse 8. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. The Levitical priesthood was temporal. And it was temporal in a big way because they die. Humans die. Yes, they do. Melchizedek or Christ had no end because it's eternal. And again, as deep as this goes, and the fathoms we'll never get to even in one verse, I hope we understand that. But this is encouraging us on, not just in this, but to live our lives and to get our eyes off of the temporal. The temporal man dies. The temporal things of this earth, moth corrupts, they eat away, they rust, they're nothing. We've been talking about wood, hay, and stubble here. Don't want no wood, hay, and stubble in our lives. By the grace of God, we want precious stone. That's what we want built. Most of Christianity truly is built in wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble can be great piles. It looks like you've done a lot of work, doesn't it? Oh, look at all my wood, hay, and stubble. But it has no value. It burns even. But God's still faithful. But you know what? By the grace of God, He gave you those 5 talents. Go bring them back to Him. Go bring Him back the precious stone. You know, that's the fruit. Hallelujah. And it's His work. His work. Verses 9 and 10. And as I may say, so say Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. This is, again, the Levi himself paid tithes to Melchizedek. Abraham gave tithes not only in his own name, but he gave it in the name of his descendants. He was trying to lay it out for all of them for these ages to come. Because Jehovah not only promised to be a God to him, but to who else? His seed. His seed. We're God's family. We're seated together. You ever thought about that? We're seated together. We're a family. I pray we love one another. Love one another. That's how they knew they were Christians, didn't they? You know? And I'm thankful for it because we hear so many times, and it is such a blessing, when people come into this meeting, they say there's such a love. And there is such a love. Now, don't let that puff you up. Be thankful for it. That you're magnifying Christ. That we're magnifying Him. See, Christ exceeds all of Judaism. All God's children are in Christ, period. Let's turn, since I've been talking about it so much, we're just going to have to turn there and read it anyways. Galatians 2:20. I want you to think about this. It'll blow your mind. 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Oh, hallelujah. I'm dead with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I. Uh-uh. But Christ liveth in me. So Christ's in you. You have that perfect sinless nature as your life. That's the new man. That's who you are. Okay? And the life which I now live in the flesh. Okay, there's the problem. All right? Okay, and there's a reason for it. And there's depths and depths in it. I live. Now here's my solution. I live by what? By works? By doing? By keeping? Mm-mm. by the faith. And that faith was given to you by grace. Do you realize that? Even the faith you have was given to you by grace. Of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I don't want to talk too much about that because, Lord willing, that will be in Sunday. Ephesians 2:5. Let's read that. Ephesians 2:5-6. Even when we were dead in sin and in sins, hath quickened, made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We better love being together. What do you think? Think so? I used to not like to be together as much. Not recently, but many years ago. I just kind of like to be loner. Give me my space. That's not a Christian. That's not. Not the full overcomer. He loves to be with his brethren. Now, there's times we are alone with God, and it's a wonderful thing. But forsake not the gathering of yourselves together, right? But much the more as we see that day approaching. You think He's nigh? You think He's nigh? I think He's nigh, man. I think He's almost here. Hallelujah. He's just still right there. I don't think this world can take much more of that wickedness. Thank God He's coming. Verse 11 and 12. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? You know, you just even read that on its face right there. Look at really what we hear of most Christianity today. Think about what we just read there. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise? Why did Jesus ever come? If I could be perfected on my own merit, why would we need Christ? Can you even imagine for one moment that we would ever think that there was something again that we could earn or merit? Thank God that we are grace saints. And it's grace all the way. And it's even more grace as you go on. Because, man, you're stepping into things that are just beyond. Beyond, beyond. Hallelujah. But in that 11th and 12th verse, and then it goes on to say, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. So perfection could not come by the Levitical priesthood. And there's many reasons that we'll read about, and I wanted to point out 7 by God's grace that we'll see in this chapter. The Aaronic or Levitical priesthood was subject to change. Again, it was limited by years or by death. It was passed from father to son. Christ was unchangeable like Melchizedek, and we're going to read that in verse 12. Or we did read that in verse 12. Aaron was after the flesh and couldn't help it. But Christ was spiritual after endless life. And that's verse 16. Aaron's priesthood was 20 years, but Christ was unending. Verse 17. Aaron's was imperfect, weak, and infirm. And Christ is yet all power. And that's verse 18. Aaron was without an oath. Christ was an oath confirmed by God Himself. Verse 21. Aaron was succeeded by others. But Christ has no successor and continues forever. That's verse 23. Aaron was sinful in himself, but Christ had no sin. And that's verse 26. So again, with all this, it's obvious that another priest had to be raised. Another priest had to come. Because those priests beforehand were just like you and me. And if we're relying on one another, we got a big problem, don't we? Man whose breath is in his nostrils will always fail. And don't ever, ever, no matter who it is, put your confidence in them. I can put my confidence in Christ in you. But I know that that man will eventually fail. Yes, and war is in the heart of man. Wickedness, lots of different things that I sure don't want my confidence in. But that blessedness might come to all who believe, because Christ is perfect holiness, perfect joy. By Christ, through Him, is the covenant of grace. Verse 12, we read, a new priesthood must be under a new regulation. It's got to have a new manager. It's managed in a new way by the nature of the new priest. And what's the nature of that new priest? Grace. Grace. The gospel of grace. Isn't that awesome? Oh, just by belief. Just believing He takes us on. Just merely belief. Hallelujah. That is the new order grace. Romans 6:18. Turn there. Romans 6:18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Isn't that precious? Now 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Where do people get that? Amen. Even if you just read, you'd think. Do you see what our nature is? Do you see how it wants to always return to bondage? Do you see how it always wants to put ourselves under condemnation? Under rules and regulation. And just like I talked to a precious saint, years here. I got to have accountability. I couldn't go back to Living Waters. Oh, my. It's His accountability. It's His. When I get free like that, I'm going to live. I'm going to live life abundantly. I'm going to fall such in love with Christ that I'm going to realize what that new creation is in me. That causes me to will and to do of His good pleasure. Don't you want to please Him because you love Him? I do. I think about the marvelous things that He's done. Dying on the cross, but even personally, just in my own life, seeing the just grace after grace, glory after glory in my life. I may have never known Brother Hill if he didn't have such affection for my mom when she was a little girl and married my grandma. I don't know if many of you know that. Okay? And that's how he became my pastor. That's grace. You think about the marvelous grace. What if? What woulda? But you know what God saw way back when? He saw a heart that loved Him. And you know what? He's not going to forsake me, and He won't forsake you either. Because He knows you have a heart. He knows each of us here tonight have a heart to hear this message. He's counted you worthy of something. Now what you going to do with it? You going to just throw it away? You going to say, this isn't important to me? That's why I love this time that we have. This is so personal, isn't it? Oh, I love it with my family. Treasure it. Treasure it together. Hallelujah. As one. I sense the oneness here. Galatians 3, let's turn over to Galatians 3, speaking of this marvelous grace. All throughout the Word of God is the marvelous grace. These are just some of the wonderful little notes. Galatians 3, 22. But the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin. Now, I've met a lot of people that don't think that. It's very sad. It kind of makes me angry because they insult my Jesus. But you know what? God loves them and He died for them too. And I want to love them and encourage in love. Not to take them and give them a slap or two, which they surely deserve. But that's not going to win them. That's not going to win them. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. That believe. Live the promises. They're all over this wonderful word. Believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. But then after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. It's over. It's gone. It's been nailed to the cross. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Praise God for that. Thank God for that. That's where there's no respecter of persons, is there? I might naturally be a worse person than you are. You may be able to live a cleaner life naturally than me because of my makeup or whatever it may be. But in Christ, we're all the new creation. Do you see that? Now, I don't want no excuses now. Do you see? We have it. We have that. Okay. Boy, that shouldn't cheer you up. Just let us believe it, Lord. Then we'll get closer to you all the time. Couldn't be any clearer. Verse 13 and 14. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. Aaron's priesthood was from the tribe of Levi. We know that. This new priest, where he was from, had no representation at the altar. He wasn't from the Levites. He sprang out of the tribe of Judah, which had nothing to do with the priesthood. A change of the family brought this real change of the priesthood. Verses 15 and 16. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Again, the Aaronic priesthood was passed from father at death to the eldest son. All priests had a father and mother, but Jesus didn't. I don't care what TV shows tell you. Yes, God is his father. But it wasn't in the same way. The life and immortality that he had within himself was the right to the unending priesthood. Hallelujah. The law which was given to the Levitical priests, just think of this, the law that was given to those priests caused them to be weak, didn't it? Think about what they were given out. That was the thing that caused them to die. That was the thing that caused them to be frail. That within them that they couldn't even preserve themselves. They had no power or authority to give spiritual life and blessings to those who came to them. Yet Christ, who died for us, Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, to whom all power is given, who is our life and gives us abundant life, and who has blessed us, as we said before, with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. This is our better. This is our personal. This is our Savior. This is our High Priest. And that High Priest continually is in heaven before God to make intercession for you. You think you got a problem too big for him? You think sometimes you don't have someone that loves you? Nobody cares. That's all on my shoulders. Now I'm towing the rope here. Come off yourself, right? Come off yourself. He who made himself of no reputation. Don't get there. Don't go there. This is our great High Priest, who so loved you, so loved me. What could we render unto the Lord? Oh, I always remember Brother Hill saying that. What could we render unto the Lord?
but to take of thy cup of salvation and drink. Now, if he was just talking about one drink of being saved, what would he even be talking about there? Oh no, this is the complete salvation. And drink, and drink. I'm getting chills outside. My body's not even going to be able to contain it in a minute. And drink, and drink, and drink, and drink. Brothers and sisters, will you drink with me? Hallelujah. It's awesome stuff, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Jesus, again, we thank you again for your wonderful mercy and grace to us. Thank you for this time. We again thank you that you have drawn us here. Help this word to not just be in our minds, but to have it work effectually in our lives. Effectually in our lives, Lord. That again, we may grow up unto you and to be that well-pleasing, good and faithful servant that finishes a course with joy. By God's grace. In Jesus' name, amen.